It's a subject that I believe, in my experience in church, it often gets kind of a cursory treatment. It doesn't get treated enough, spiritual disciplines. You kind of hear about it like, and you hear it even from me. I'll admit that I do this some, and there's nothing wrong with this. It just doesn't go deep enough, and that is read your Bible and pray and tell people about Jesus. That's good. We should do those things, but there's another level to it, another layer to it that actually adds to and makes those things even better. And that's what I really want to get at. There's a dearth of practical direction on how to you grow in the Word. Interestingly, in secular context, however, you get this all the time. You're going to hear a lot. In fact, if you haven't heard it, I'd like to know your secret. Go to the doctor and they tell you how to lose weight, how to eat better. You know, they're going to give you practices, right? They're going to tell you how to do this. I'm sitting up here. Normally, I button my jacket on my coat, and it's a little snug, and I'm just realizing I need to do something about this. This is not what I'm preaching about, but I'm trying to get you to the point. Is I can tell you there's 100 people out there that's going to give me. In fact, some of y'all might even come up to me afterwards and say, have you tried this diet? Have you tried this thing? It's all kind. Have you not heard these things? It's why I hear our stuff all the time. They give you all these different fad diets and exercise programs and TV programs and all the things that you need to do. And while I'm not going to preach to you about your physical health, I'll leave that to the doctors to chastise you for that. I'm not really going to talk to you about your mental health necessarily. You can go to therapists and all that stuff if you need to do all those sorts of things. But I'm going to talk to you about your spiritual health. That's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about your spiritual health. And I believe that the Bible has a lot to say about your spiritual health. Side note, for what it's worth, those other things, physical health and mental health, I think if you get your spiritual health in order, it will have some benefit in those areas as well. So don't underestimate the value of it. So today, throughout January, we're going to talk about what the Bible says in some very concrete ways about how we can grow spiritually, how our spiritual health can be improved. That's what we're going to focus on. We'll focus today on, if you will, if you think about it as an exercise program, we're going to focus today on our goals. What are our goals? What are we trying to accomplish? And then over the next 4 weeks after that, we'll talk about, I'm going to give you some exercises, some plans. Here's what you do. Here's how you get to those goals. We'll talk about that. And there's actually, if you think about this term, the spiritual disciplines, if you ever, I don't know if you've ever heard that term before, but there's actually, it's really probably more than this, but there's at least 20 distinct disciplines. If you want to think about them as exercise routines that you can do for your spiritual health, but we'll put them under four areas. We'll talk about how we learn from God, how we talk to God, how we fellowship with the family of God, and how we live a life that's pleasing to God. And there's, like I said, there's some specific disciplines under each of those that we'll talk about. But for today, because I can't do all that in one day, we're going to accomplish that over 5 Sundays. Today, we're going to focus on making a commitment to improving our spiritual health. That's what I want to ask you to do. I'll just say what's happening here. It's the last day of 2023. We're about to go into 2024. Some people make resolutions. Some people make commitments. Some people don't do any of that stuff, whatever. But I'm trying to get you to think about, if you go into this next year, would you please, and I'm asking you, I'm actually trying to present to you from the Bible that you need to make a commitment to improve your spiritual health. I want to show you from the Bible how you can do that. So let's look with me, and if you wouldn't mind looking with me in James chapter 1. I'm going to read a few different verses here. I would like to read the whole chapter, but I think I might lose your attention, so I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to read a few verses out of this. We'll start in verse 5, where he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Skip down to verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights. Go down to verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightforth forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Pray with me, please. Lord, we want to set on this mission that you have for us to grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that we will take the opportunity, the equipment of your word, the moment that we have in front of us to do exactly that, so that we can get closer to you, so we can hear you, we can obey you, we can enjoy the life that you have for us, Lord. And I pray that we'll do this according to your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The greatest things that you can accomplish, even if you can imagine whatever you think the greatest thing you can accomplish is, the greatest thing you can accomplish is accomplished, it's realized by just doing the simple things. One small example, I remember when my older boys, well, both of them are still in college. And I remember telling Harrison, which I'm proud of Harrison, just so y'all know, I'm proud of Harrison. My oldest son, he just graduated from law enforcement training and he's working for the Wilkes County Sheriff's Department. I'm pretty proud of him. But I'm going to make fun of him here just a second, just so he ain't here to defend himself. But I remember telling him, he's still not done with college. He's still messing with it. He'll get done here soon. He's close. But I remember telling him, I said, son, you want to graduate from college, go to class and do the work. I didn't say you got to get A's for everything. I said, just go to show up and do the work. And of course, you know what he would say. Oh, yeah, I understand. I'll do that. Funny, he's still working on his college degree because he didn't show up and do the work sometimes. And I know that a college degree may seem like a huge, and it is on the front end of it. If you're sitting there as a freshman and you've got 4 years of college ahead of you, oh my goodness, how do I do this? Well, what do? You go to class every day, you do the work that's in front of you, and you do it again the next day, and you do it again the next day. It's small things. And that's true of losing weight, like Matthew needs to do, or writing a novel, or raising a family, or building a house, or you name it. Whatever it is that's in front of you, that big thing, you can't do it by doing it like I want to do. Like, I just want to go like those baseball players. I want to step up to bat, and I want to hit that home run, knock it out of the park. But you can't do it. That's not how real life works. It just doesn't do it that way. As much as we want to change the world that way, it is shaped, the change is shaped, the world is shaped by the powerful force of slow, steady commitment to do the right thing every day. And growing in your walk with Christ is exactly the same way. You cannot decide, and I offer almost every service, and we'll do that again today, I offer an altar call. And that's an opportunity for you to come forward and make a commitment to the Lord about maybe something that you heard or maybe something the Holy Spirit convicted you about. I'll continue to do that. But I want to say to you that there is no one commitment you can make, no one service you can walk forward, no one prayer you can pray that will turn you from the guy who's always sinning and falling for every trap that the devil sets to this somehow, whatever your mind of, is a super Christian that just does everything perfectly. That's not how that works. There's a whole life that you have to live. There's a process of sanctification. This is how God works on us. I'm simply trying to tell you, well, yes, you should make those commitments and you should talk to the Lord, and when he convicts you, you should respond. But know that he's going to work on you on the long term. You have to make the commitment to say, I'm going to go for that long term because I'm going to do the right thing today and tomorrow and the next thing. So with the backdrop of James chapter 1, again, most of this chapter will reference a lot of these verses here. But I want to convince you that you need to make a commitment today to do the small things, simple things, day by day, that are going to take what it's going to take for you to grow in your Christian walk. Now, again, I'm telling you, I'm going to just get you to try to get the goal in mind. Today, we're not going to give you all the tools to do that. In fact, I won't be able to do that over a month. That takes a lifetime of scripture reading and study and all that. Understand that. But I'm going to, over the next month, I'm going to try to give you, after we set the goals today, we're going to get some exercises that we can start doing to try to build those spiritual muscles, you see. That's what we're going to try to do. But I'm going to propose to you, and again, forgive me if you think resolutions are terrible. And I know some people think they're pagan and all this other stuff. Whatever you think of them, you can make resolutions or not. Put another word in there. But I'm going to give you three resolutions that I believe every Christian ought to make. Three determinations, commitments, whatever word you want to put in there. Three of those that I think that you need to make as you face whatever 2024 has to offer. The first resolution I want to give you. First commitment. Y'all hearing me now? I'm asking you to make this commitment. It's not just information. I'm asking you to make this commitment. First commitment. Let's talk more to the Lord this year. Look what he says in verse 5. I already read this, but I want to read it again. If you lack wisdom, what are you going to do? Ask of God. He's going to give it to you, it says. There was no question there. Simply ask God for that. By the way, it's not just wisdom in this passage. He's talking about wisdom. But let me just tell you, you go through the testimony of Scripture. If you need something, you know where you're supposed to go for it? Go to God. Talk to him about it. You've got a God. Listen to this. Listen to this. I really think that prayer is not only the most available, but it is the most underused tool, weapon that Christians have. Listen to this. I believe, and I think most of you, if not all of you, believe this too, that I serve a God who created my very existence. He created the planet. He created time. He created history. He created everything that exists. He created my mind, everything that exists. As my daddy says, the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the taters in the hills too. That he owns it all. He made it all. It's his. It's under his control. Why would I not just ask him for the help I need? Whether that is I need financial help, I need physical help, I need help with a relationship, I don't understand something, I need help at work, whatever the thing is. Why would you not do that? Simply ask God for the wisdom that you need. And James also says in chapter 4 and verse 2, he says, the reason you don't have is because you don't ask. You ask not, you have not because you ask not, he says in James 4, 2. You don't have, a lot of times we struggle. We instead, it's what he says in James 4, verses 1 and 2. He says, you are over there fighting and you're fussing and you're quarreling among each other. He said, the reason you're doing that is because you need something. And instead of asking God for it, you feel like you need to get it from your brother or your sister. We make too many decisions. We struggle too much with worries and concerns. We make too many moves without ever talking to God about the thing. Now, please understand, when things go wrong, it's not God's fault. It's what he says in verse 13. If you're not tempted of God, God doesn't tempt with evil. It's not God's fault when things go wrong. Instead, when things go wrong, we're the problem. Verse 14. When we're tempted, we're drawn away with our lust. It's my fault when things go wrong. Whenever I'm acting on my heart's desire, when I'm sinning, that's when it's wrong. And when that happens, there's going to be death that comes from that, verse 15. But do understand that if I will actually go to the God of heaven, and I believe he will hear my prayer, and not just hear my prayer, I actually happen to believe that he will answer my prayer. I happen to believe that he will give me direction. I'm taking chapter 1, verse 5 to heart to say, if I need some wisdom, I need some direction, I need some help, I need some hope, that there's a God in heaven who not only is going to give it to me, but he is going to liberally give it to me. Now, do y'all believe that? Does anybody here believe that? If you believe that, then I think it's worthwhile to commit to talking to God a little bit more than we do. You may say, well, I already pray every day. Okay, pray twice a day. It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to do anything but better. And I guarantee you there's maybe one person, three people maybe in this church that prays that often. And I don't even count myself among them because I'll be honest with you, I don't pray enough. None of us pray enough. We ought to pour out our complaints to the Lord, as David writes in Psalm 142. Take your complaints, whatever you're worried about, whatever you're frustrated about, instead of taking it out on your spouse or your kids or your coworkers, take it out on the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm frustrated by this. Pour out your complaints to Him. We need to ask Him about our daily needs. This is what Jesus says in what we often call the Lord's Prayer. Lord, give me what I need today. Seek His direction on your choices. That's what we see in James 1:5. But we also know that, as we read in verse 17, that if there's anything that's good that we have in our lives, it comes from God Himself. If you're going to have anything good in your life, it's only going to come, not because you worked hard enough, not because the government was benevolent enough, not because you have a rich uncle, not because... Why are you going to have good things at all? It only comes because of God. Why not talk to Him more often and follow through on that commitment? Now, like I said, we're going to get some more specifics on how to do this, but let me just give you a couple of ideas in case you don't have some thought on how to do this. One is, I can just tell you, if you can do this, and I know this works, and I know when you don't do this, it doesn't work. Build in a daily prayer time. Just schedule it. Just say, this is the time I'm going to pray every day. Whatever that looks like, it might be first thing in the morning when you wake up. It might be at noontime. It might be when you get off of work. It doesn't matter to me when you do it. It doesn't matter to God, for that matter. Just pick a time. You do that, and you say, this is my prayer time every day. That's going to help you. Another thing that'll help you on praying to God more often is if you'll keep track of it. Maybe write down in a notebook, here's the things I'm praying to God about. Talk to Him. This is what I'm talking to God about. And I'm saying this, I know that I don't necessarily do that with other conversations, but I can talk to Charlie every day, but Charlie ain't going to help me but that much. And he likes me, I think. At least he told me he did. He ain't going to help me but that much. But if I'm going to talk to the one who can help me that can help me in amazing ways, I'm not going to write down what I'm going to talk to him about. Don't you think it's going to help you a little bit? It's going to guide you. It's going to encourage you. You need to find new opportunities to pray. I think we have these opportunities in front of us, and we just don't take advantage of them. I'm just thinking about myself. This may not apply to y'all, but I'm just telling you, this is what I'm telling Matthew right now. If I could just start my day with prayer. If I have to drive, I got to drive Jude to school every day. Why not take that 15 minutes and spend at least 2 or 3 of it praying? Why not? Why not? Why not, as I go take the dog for a walk, why couldn't I just pray for a minute instead of whatever else my mind is doing in that 5 minutes? Whatever mindless tasks that you're doing, vacuuming the floor, folding clothes, putting up dishes, whatever you're doing, why not use those times to pray and talk to the Lord? One of the things that we have been a little inconsistent on, but we've done off and on through the years, that I think helps a lot, helps me a lot, is just taking a minute before we go to bed and we pray with the kids. We get everybody together and we pray for a minute. We've not been real consistent on it, so don't get me wrong, but that's something that is very helpful whenever we get to do that. So I would encourage you, just if you got other people in your house before everybody goes to bed late, let's just take 5 minutes. We're just going to pray a minute. Do that. That helps. That helps. Those are all ways. Those are not an exhaustive list, but those are just some ideas of what you can do in order to commit that time. Say, I'm going to commit to praying to the Lord. So resolution number one, which was, let's talk to the Lord a little bit more. Resolution number two, commitment number two, is I'm going to ask you to listen to God even more. So it's good to talk to somebody, but if there's somebody like God who knows everything, wouldn't you think that you'd be better to listen to what He has to say? Look what He says in verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, again, this is good practice generally. What do they say? You got 2 ears and 1 mouth, you know, so you might want to listen more than you talk. Generally, that's a good idea. But also, don't forget, if you go down to verse 21, he says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And listen to what he says here. So he wants you to get rid of the filth in your life and instead receive with meekness the engrafted word. He's talking about the word of God. But look at what that word is going to do, which is able to save your souls. Now think about this for a second. If the word of God is as powerful as I believe it is, it starts out in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the world. What did He do? He spoke it into existence. Everything that comes, it is world-creating power. His word saves. I can sit there and I can tell you, I've talked to the Lord before, and I can fuss and rant and rave. And the Lord hears me and he listens to me and he's patient with me. But that fussing and ranting and raving, and other than simply connecting me to God, which is helpful in its way, it doesn't change anything. But if I can hear the word of God, his word can change my life. And it has before, when I listen to what he has to say. Too many times our prayers, in fact, go back to James chapter 4. Remember I told you that you're fussing and fighting. He says the reason you're fussing and fighting is because you're not asking God for what you need. But then he goes on in verse 3 of James 4 and he says, but sometimes you're praying, but your prayers never even leave the ground. Because you're, as he says, you're asking amiss. Because what we're doing is we're praying a prayer that's ground in our hearts, not a prayer that's ground in God's word. Make sure y'all hear what I'm saying here. God honors his word. Your heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? So, if I have a prayer that starts in my heart, how good is that? I might feel it. I might feel good about it. It might feel nice. But God's not going to have to honor that. On the other hand, if that prayer starts with the word of God, that's been forever settled, that is true, that is not going to lie, is never going to deceive me, is always right, is the standard of what is right. And the prayer that I pray starts here. Oh my goodness, that's a prayer that God's going to hear and he's going to answer. So, yes, I need to pray more. I need to talk to the Lord more. But I want to encourage you to commit to listening to his voice. How are you going to listen to his voice? I mean, the primary source is the word of God. This Bible right here. 66 books of it. It's all good. Any of it's good. Just drop in somewhere and read some of it. Now there are other ways to get to that. I mean, I'd like to think that if I'm faithful to the word of God, that my preaching can be a way for you to be exposed to the word of God. But again, that's a secondary source. That's me showing you the Bible. You need to spend some time with the Lord and hearing his voice, listening to him directly. And yes, I can help you and I can shine some light. I'm going to hopefully do, if I'm doing my work properly, I'm shining a light on this word. But ultimately, it is his words who are the words of life, Philippians 2:16. It's his words that give peace beyond understanding, Philippians 4:7. It's his words that are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable and excellent and praiseworthy, things upon which we should think, Philippians 4, verse 8. That's God's word. And it's worth taking some time committing to listening to it more. Again, I'm going to give you some pointers on how you can do some of this in the coming weeks, but let me just give you some suggestions. These are just my ideas. You can take them or leave them. If they're helpful, use them. If they're not, don't. But don't forget the goal. Remember, we're trying to establish a goal here of listening to God even more. One thing that I have gotten it's been helpful to me, put it to you that way. You know, some people get these ideas of let's read through the Bible in a year. And there's not only nothing wrong with that. It's very good. If you can read through the Bible in a year, please do. But commit to read something in the Bible. Just something. One verse, a chapter, a page. Open it up somewhere and read something and spend some time with it. Just read it. Whatever that looks like. You can say, well, I don't have that much time. I don't think you're really that busy. I don't think you are, really. You might think you are, but you're not. But even if you were that busy, just spend a minute. Open it up, read one verse. That alone, if you will commit to doing that every day, that alone helps me. But sometimes it can be a verse, it can be a passage, it can be a chapter, it can be several chapters if you have that. But just read something every day. And then second thing I would recommend to you is get some kind of a plan to engage with the Bible. The danger I have, and I've done this before, where I'll say, well, I'm going to read through the Bible, or I'm going to read through this book or whatever. And then what happens is, it's inevitable. I just sort of, my eyes just start going over it. And I read it. You know, it's like, just like, I don't take it in. I'm just listening. I'm just like, it's just going over my eyes. I'm not really taking anything in. So we got to find a way to engage that. So I would consider getting some kind of a reading plan, that coupling that with maybe like a Bible, a study Bible, or a note, taking it, some kind of note-taking system, where as you're reading it, you're taking notes about it. But at the very least, you need to get to the place where you're finding a way to engage with that. You can even, I've done this before too, as I'm reading through a chapter or a book of the Bible, is I might actually go find somebody who's preached through that book of the Bible and listen to their sermons as I'm studying that book. So I do that as well. These are all ideas that you can get to. The one thing I want to encourage you, though, in terms of reading through the Bible, I do have this little cheat sheet here that somebody had put together. It doesn't take you as long to read the Bible as you think it does. I just want to encourage you on this. Here's an example. If you were to spend 5 minutes every day, 5 minutes, that's all we're talking about, you could read the entire Old Testament. Just 5 minutes a day, that's all we're talking about. You could read the entire Old Testament in 2 years. Now you say, well, that seems like a long time. That's, I understand, but there's some of us who've never read an entire book of the Bible. So 2 years and you get the Old Testament done, I'll take it. That's worthwhile. That's just the Old Testament. You spend 6 minutes a day, 6 minutes, just another minute, you can read through the whole Bible in 2 years. Now, if you really want to go fast on it, I mean, yeah, you can spend, you know, an hour a day and get it done in 3 months. You see what I'm getting at? It's like, it doesn't take as much time as you think it'll take, and you can accomplish a lot more than you think. But ultimately, know that the goal here, you can talk about my tactics all day long. You might not like them, and that's fine. Don't do them. But I'm encouraging you to get the goal in mind. What's the goal? Listen to God more. Hear him more. So number one was talk to God more. Number two is let's listen to him even more. Number three, though, it's not enough to talk to him. It's not enough to listen to him. Let's do everything he says. Now you say, Matthew, that sounds too simple. I know. And that's why I'm fat. Because the simple thing of stop eating and move your body more, I don't like to do it. It's simple, right? We know this stuff. You know it too. But I'm trying to show you from the Word of God. We'll pray to God. We'll listen to God. And then we do what he says. It'll change our life. Let me just show you. Resolution number three, obey God in everything he says. It's fine to talk about stuff. I'm bad to do this. Got an idea and I talk about it. Well, what do you think about it? Vanessa and I were talking about this. I bought a pair of shoes recently. And I'll talk about that pair of shoes. I'm going to buy this shoe. I'm thinking about this, looking at this. But I never actually go buy the shoe. It's like, talk about it all the time. Got the money sitting right there. But that shoe's not going to help my feet one bit until I go buy the thing. You understand? So we can talk about it all day long. But acting on it is completely different. And when you hear something from God's word, you're now responsible for it. But look at what he says in verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. If you only listen to the word, you come and listen to preaching, or maybe you even take some time out of your week and spend some time reading the scripture. And if all you do is listen to it, but you don't do what it says, he says there, you're deceiving yourself, your own selves. You're lying to yourself. Furthermore, look what he goes like. He gives this great word, this great picture in verse 23. He says, if you're a hearer of the word, not a doer, it's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He says, it's like looking yourself in a mirror and you see what you got going on. What he doesn't say, but what I would add to it is you've got, you know, a big old smudge or something over here, and you got food in your teeth, and you know, you got all this stuff going on. Your hair is all messed up. That's a problem for some of y'all. You got your hair all messed up. And you look at it and you say, man, that guy needs a haircut. He needs his teeth brushed. He needs his face washed. might even need a shave. I mean, that guy's got some problems. And it's you, you know, you're looking at yourself. But then what does he say? You're looking at yourself, you behold himself, and go with his way. Man, that guy's got some problems. I'm walking away. Now I don't see him, so I'm not going to worry about it. Do you still have the smudge on your face? Do you still need the shave? Do you still need to comb your hair, brush your teeth? Do you still need to do those things? Absolutely. So what he's saying here is listening to God's word, reading the pages, hearing the sermon, but then going and living any way you want to, not doing anything differently because of that, is like looking yourself in the mirror and you've got stuff all over your face and you just walk away and say, I don't need to worry about that. You're ignoring the truth. And more important than that even, go with me to the last part of verse 25. The man who, in verse 25, it talks about a man who hears it, but is not a forgetful hearer, but he's a doer. This man, a person who sees the problem, hears it in God's word, and does something about it, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If you are hearing God's word, you're reading the scripture, you're hearing the messages, and you do something about it, you will be blessed by God. If, on the other hand, you say, no, that's not for me, I don't want to deal with it, you are missing out on a blessing. So I'm asking you and encouraging you to commit to obeying what God tells you to do in this coming year. By the way, just to say this, this is actually the whole point of Christianity. It's not about the religious rituals. It's not about even the preaching necessarily. It's about being different and doing something different. It's about change, transformational on the inside. This is what it is. It's not just about learning about God. It's about obeying God. And to follow through on your commitment to obey him, that just takes some effort. Again, we'll talk about some exercises you can do. We'll give you some spiritual disciplines. But at the end of the day, what I'm going to tell you, the best way to obey God's word is to talk to God, listen to God, and commit, Lord, I'm going to try to obey this, but I need your help to do it. That's going to be the best way. And if you'll do that and put yourself accountable to God, I can guarantee you that you're going to see some results. I think now's a great time to make a commitment. I would encourage you to make a commitment. To talk to God more, to listen to him more, and to obey. It's that simple. It's really that straightforward. And if you do, I believe, James chapter 1, verse 25 tells me you're going to be blessed. I want to encourage you, ask you to stand, if you would. We'll take a moment to respond to this. And I really do. I'm asking you to make a commitment this morning. You say, well, I don't know how I'm going to get there. I know that. I don't know how to get there fully either. I'm going to show you some things from the Bible in the coming weeks. But I can tell you, if you're willing to make a commitment, Lord, I'm going to listen to you more, I'm going to talk to you more, I'm going to obey you as much as I possibly can. You make that commitment and you put it in God's hands. He'll help you do this. This is something he wants. This is his will. I know this. And I want to encourage you to come and make that commitment this morning. You can come on forward if you'd like, or stay where you are, whatever you want to do, but you need to make that commitment this morning. Lord, please, help us to make a commitment to grow.